You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini, educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I'm with Steve Lawson. Steve, how you doing?
Doing just fine, thank you.
Thanks for being on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So Steve is actually the owner of TriPro Investment Properties out of Indianapolis, Indiana. He's actually a fellow member at Collective Genius, and that's a very deep well I keep going back to. There's just so many talented guys at CG. But we actually, I'm really intrigued to do this interview with you because you and I run fairly similar businesses. Steve's also in the turnkey business. He does over 100 deals a year in Indianapolis, and that's an area that, you know, we've focused on for a number of years, so I know it really well. But I'd love to hear more about your market and how you got into turnkey. So Steve, tell us a little bit about how you even got into real estate. What's the story there?
Okay, sure. Well, my background was actually in financial planning. So I spent about 10 years as a financial planner, a CFP, and I did everything from estate planning, tax planning, risk management, portfolio management. And my area of expertise was actually retirement income planning. So my job was to create an income stream that the investors could never outlive. And that worked great up until about 2002. Keep in mind the tech bubble burst in 2001. Interest rates had gone from the 7% in the late 90s down to 3% by then, so you couldn't just live off your interest anymore, and had a lot of clients trying to figure out how on earth to generate enough income to pay their bills during retirement. And so I started using rental real estate as an investment tool in 2002. And after about 6 months or so, it was working much better for the investors, and frankly, I was having a lot more fun. So I gave up my securities licenses and just switched over to helping people invest in real estate. Again, that was back in 2002.
Wow. Did you start by buying real estate for yourself as like a long-term rental, or did you just start buying them for clients? How did that work?
Well, I'd actually bought my first investment property in 1996. So by 2002, I'd already had my first property for 6 years.
Wow.
So I'd been doing that myself first. And then in 2002, like I said, I introduced it to my investors.
I gotcha. And so what did that look like? I mean, for your investors, you went to them and said, hey, I've owned a property now for 6 years. It's worked out well for me. What do you think? Do you want to do the same thing? Or how did that conversation go?
Well, again, the conversation usually started with, I'm not quite going to say tears and desperation, but them trying to figure out how on earth can I continue to pay my bills? I've lost half my money and I can't live off my interest or whatever. And them saying, is there any solution out there, anything we can possibly do? And that's where I would say, well, have you thought about real estate? You know, we've started doing that a little bit using rental real estate. You know, the returns may not be exciting. Keep in mind, in 2002, a lot of people are still thinking of a good return as, you know, the numbers we're getting in the late 90s when people were making 25 and 30% a year in the market. Okay. So when I said, hey, real estate's kind of boring. It just pays about 12% income every year. At that time, most of them were thrilled. They're like, really? 12%? Yeah, that sounds great. Let's do that in my portfolio. So I kind of introduced it as a, instead of me trying to push it, more of a solution to a problem they were having.
Yeah, interesting. Were a lot of these individuals already retired, or they were still thinking about how they're going to build their retirement accounts up?
It was about half and half. About half were retired, and about half were within 10 years of retirement. So they were looking at, you know, again, you get a lot of, you know, 58-year-olds who are planning on retiring in 65, all of a sudden going, how am I going to be able to retire? There's not enough there anymore.
Right.
So that's who I was working with then when I got into that part of real estate.
So at the time, did you go to somebody local and say, hey, I need to get some real estate. What do I need to do? Or how did you go about finding the properties for them at that time?
Well, actually, someone had come to me and suggested rental real estate, and they were putting together basically, they were a turnkey provider at that time, and I was essentially just a straight commission guy getting a fee for matching their property with my investor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you were the referral group that now that you work with, but you were that referral guy, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. And so that was 2002. And so you had enough business from that referral source to give up your license?
Yes.
Wow. And so what did that look like for you?
Well, I'm just focusing on, helping people get a get rental income properties. And I gave it my securities license. Regulations changed over the years. At that time, you could do real estate and securities together. Now it's pretty much impossible. And so it was getting harder and harder. And so I got to the point where I kind of had to choose one or the other. And given the direction things were going, it was a pretty simple choice.
I gotcha. Yeah, I guess your financial planning business, with people losing half of their retirement accounts, I imagine being in that business was probably tough in and of itself. And to have this new opportunity present itself just made a lot of sense for you.
Correct.
Yeah. So this was 2002. And so you're kind of watching this other turnkey provider go out there and find houses, and you're not really involved in the nuts and bolts. You're really just making introductions, I'm assuming, mostly to your clients that you had already had, I'm assuming.
Correct.
What point did you make the switch? When did you say, you know what, I want to be the guy out there finding the deals and fixing them up and being the turnkey operator?
Sure. That was actually about 2011.
Okay.
Because
wow. So you did this for 9 years.
Yeah. But, again, keep in mind, I did take a little break in 2008 and 9 and going into 2010, because at that time, given what real estate was doing, I couldn't justify telling someone, hey, now's a great time to buy real estate. Yeah, and so, right. So I did step out of the real estate for about a 2 to 3 year period in the middle there. And when I got back in, I said, you know what, I'm not going to do it the way I did it the first time. I'm going to do it where I'm a turnkey provider. I'm buying them, rehabbing them, and selling them directly to the investors instead of just getting a commission for someone else's property.
Sure. So 2010, you got back into the game and basically started a business from scratch. You still had all the same clients, or did you have to go out there and find new buyers?
You know, I started from scratch, and I've had a few carryovers from when I did it early in 2002 and that stretch, mm-hmm. but most of them are new investors. And frankly, in the last 2 to 3 years, one of the big changes is up until about 2012, I had never worked with someone outside the state of Indiana. And I had one client who said, well, my father-in-law lives over in Illinois. Can you sell him a property? And he wants to buy rental real estate. And I kind of scratched my head and thought, well, sure, I guess so. So he came over, bought a property. And 6 months later, I was doing more outside of Indiana than inside Indiana. And within a year, 95% of my business is now outside of Indiana, as far as my investors.
Wow.
And so it's a completely different clientele than I was working with from 2002 up until about 2008.
Interesting shift.
Yes.
Well, and that's similar to our business too. I mean, we've been in the turnkey business for really since probably 2008 or 9, somewhere in there. And it's 90 years, exactly 95, if not more, percent of our buyers are out-of-state buyers. They, you know, the thought of most of them, and probably the same with you, most of them are West Coast buyers. They're California. You know, they're from markets where real estate's super expensive. And so the thought mm-hmm. of buying a really inexpensive house that cash flows really well, it's not doable in their location, but they don't mind, you know, hooking up with the team somewhere else. You know, and actually maybe let's take a step back and just give your best explanation of the services that you provide to an investor as a turnkey provider.
Sure. Well, got a couple things. One is we buy properties, rehab them. I've got a rehab manager who's phenomenal. And he's done a lot of major projects and just was thrilled to be able to pick him up. He manages the rehabs, and then we put a tenant in place and sell them a turnkey property. Now, to break that down a little bit, a few things that we do a little bit different than some other turnkey providers. When we evaluate a property on what needs to be repaired, we look at it and say, okay, how can we do the repairs so that the investor doesn't have any major expenses his first 5 years? Is the roof going to make it at least 5 years? The electric, the plumbing, the furnace, the water heater, the AC, those major items, are all of them going to make it at least 5 years? So we might look at a water heater and say, hey, today it's working great. It's 16 years old, but it works perfect. Well, you know what? It's probably not going to make it to 21 years. Let's just go ahead and replace it so the investor won't have to. So that's part of our evaluation of what needs to be repaired. Then the next step is we have written standards on our website as to how we do the repairs. So and you can go into your Lowe's or Home Depot and look at the SKU number, and here's the exact type of paint we use. Here's the type of cabinet we use. Here's the type of windows we use. And so that we have a consistent product that we're turning out and maintaining those standards on the rehabs. And what that enables us to do is by making sure we're fixing everything that needs to be fixed and we're fixing it right, then we turn around and we're able to offer a warranty on the property to the investors.
And what kind of warranty do you offer? I'm just curious.
It's a 1-year warranty on anything that we fixed. There's a 1-year warranty, and basically there's a 30-day warranty on the entire house.
And the
reason for that is, the tenant moves in and 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, something pops up that needs to be repaired. Then it's something that, in my opinion, we should have caught on our assessment and we missed it. So we're going to go ahead and fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have basically the same exact warranty.
Is it really?
Really, in the turnkey world, you have to, because so much of your business comes from referral. To me, spending dollars to fix somebody else's house is marketing dollars, because those people are going to love you for the fact that you stepped in, took care of them, and then they're that much more likely to tell their cousin or their buddy about you, and that in turn turns into new clients for you.
That's right.
Have you found that to be true?
Absolutely. That's our main source of business, is repeat buyers and referral buyers.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely.
With turnkey, anybody that's familiar with the space will say that probably the linchpin to the business is property management, because really you're selling them a house that's fixed up, but you're giving them a tenant, and then you're sort of, sending them off to, hopefully have a great investment for years to come. But the party that's most responsible for that is the property management company, because they're the ones making sure that it's not vacant, making sure that you've got a tenant that's paying on time. What have you guys done to shore up your property management side of the business?
Yeah, it's interesting. The first phase, when I was offering rental real estate from 2002 up to 2008, I just got a commission. It was someone else's problem the day after the sale. And I never really had to worry about that until I started doing my own turnkey business going into 2011. And I was growing, things were going okay. And then in the same month, my two top buyers, I mentioned I have a lot of, had a lot of repeat buyers. These were guys that bought one or two houses every month. Both of them in the same month said they were gonna stop buying real estate from me. And both of them said, it's because these property managers in Indianapolis that you've referred us to are just terrible. This one doesn't return a phone call. I think this one's overcharging me. This one isn't keeping the tenants in place. This one can't find a tenant to fill a vacancy. And so when I heard that, twice from my two most important clients in the same month, I realized I had to do something about that. So That's when I started my own property management business about 3 years ago. And again, it's there specifically to take care of the investors, to make sure they do have a good experience. But you're right. Without that, I probably would have gone out of business a while ago. We have to make sure that the investors have a good property management experience after they buy.
Yeah, it's funny, because we burned through the same thing. We burned through a number of property managers before we basically created our own as well. And you just have to have that control, that level of control, to make sure that your clients are having a good experience. And I think what people don't realize is, property management is such a razor thin margin business.
Right.
It's not, I never consider it a profit center. It's totally, It's a cost center.
That's right.
Value add. It's something you have to provide to your investors. I'm curious, how many properties do you guys in-house have under management at this point?
Right now we're at about 165.
Okay. And So they sit in the office with you guys and everything, or different location?
Same building, same floor, but down the hallway. We couldn't get an adjacent space, but they're pretty close to us.
Okay. And so are you 100% owner of that, or do you have a partnership over there?
No, okay. I'm 100% owner of that. That's correct.
Okay. Awesome. And so I'm curious, for your property managers, what's like a normal single person, like property manager that's employed by the property management company, how many houses does that one person typically handle by themselves?
Well, the way we'd have it set up, I got lucky enough to find a girl who had managed a portfolio of 1,000 properties. And wow. So, and we kind of used that model where she is the centerpiece, for lack of a better word. But then we have different leasing agents, different, accountant that does one part, the data entry and the owner statement reports and the distributions. We have another person that does the management and the maintenance type things. And so really, she's managing 165, but with a team of her and three or four other people.
I gotcha. Okay. And so that's probably about normal, three to four for 165. I think I've heard maybe two employees per 100 units, something like that. It's pretty normal. That sounds about
okay.
Like where
that sounds
you guys
about
are.
Right. Yeah.
How much daily involvement do you have in the property management company versus is it just very self-sufficient?
I've had a little bit more involvement over the past few months as we have grown exponentially and put a few new systems in place, upgraded a few processes. We've added some programs, and so I've more from the systems standpoint had more involvement. But for the most part, you know, she's got the experience to be able to run it by herself without much involvement from me.
That's nice. Now, I could see that becoming, you know, one of the reasons I was hesitant to bring it into our office is because I didn't want it to become too much of a distraction of our core business of, you know, going out there and finding properties. I could see us getting dragged into every last little detail.
Yeah.
You almost want it to be its own island that, you know, functions as perfectly and smoothly as possible.
Yes, that's correct.
So, you know, you being a turnkey operator and me being having been a turnkey operator for years, curious, what do you like about being in the turnkey space? And for somebody else that's out there listening to this, considering, hey, you know, maybe I'm in a good market that lends itself well to rentals, and maybe they're thinking about getting into turnkey into this space, what do you like about being a turnkey operator?
I enjoy the having the process. You know, every month we're finding more properties. I've got an acquisitions team of three full-time guys, and that's all they do is go look at properties. So we're always looking at new properties, looking at different parts of town, and what can we acquire. And you know, then we do the rehab. We manage that process, and then we find a tenant, and you know, put the tenant in place. And once we have a tenant, you know, we sell it to the investor, and it's kind of a four-step process. And I just kind of enjoy the, you know, step one, two, three, four, done, and move on to the next one, and just always having, it's almost like a conveyor belt. You know, at any given time, I've got 10 properties we're in the process of acquiring, 10 that we're rehabbing, 10 that are done and we're looking for a tenant, and 10 that we're in the process of selling. So it's just kind of a conveyor belt business where you can repeat, as opposed to, at least around here, like the fix and flip business can be very challenging around here, because you can't get enough consistent inventory. And so I've been in some other businesses where it was very up and down because you couldn't find enough supply, and the demand might have been inconsistent. But there's enough supply and demand that it can, like I said, run like a conveyor belt.
So in Indianapolis, then, you have enough, you're able to get the inventory that works from a rental and turnkey standpoint, but is it trickier, I guess, to get the inventory maybe that's a slightly higher price point that lends itself better to retail, like the fix and flip?
Right. Yeah. Once you get above properties that are above 70,000, somewhere in that range, maybe 80, now you're competing against the owner occupants, mm-hmm. and they can drive that price up, and it makes acquiring those properties a lot more challenging. We do that. We've got a lot of demand from investors for those properties, and we do find those, but when you're competing against the owner occupants, you're just competing against more people. It makes it just a little harder to acquire those properties, at least in our market.
Yeah. I'm curious in your market too. So you got three full-time acquisition guys. What's your primary strategies for acquiring properties right now?
Yeah. So we've got, one gentleman is a licensed realtor. And so he works with other realtors. He looks at, the MLS system, and, he tracks the properties available for sale through HUD.
Okay.
So that's his role. And then the one gentleman does pretty much all. We do a lot of direct mail. Mm-hmm. And we have one gentleman that is responsible for replying to all those, having the conversations with the potential property sellers, going out, evaluating the property, putting those offers together. So we have one person. That's his full-time job. And then the other one is kind of he's the director of my acquisitions department. And his is kind of the catch-all, whether it be auctions, or we'll get some deals from other wholesalers, or just, hey, Steve, I got a property for sale. You know what? Let me hand you off to my acquisitions director, and you can talk to him about it. So he handles a lot of those. And so between the three of them, they cover quite a bit of ground on the acquisition side.
Yep. You know what's funny? That still sounds so much like our business, where we've got the same thing. We got the HUD MLS person. We got the, you know, the direct mail person. And then we've got the auction person that's working the wholesalers. Because you have to have multiple funnels these days. I mean, back in the day, probably you were probably the same as us. I mean, so many years ago, two, 3 years ago, I mean, HUD and MLS accounted for almost all of our our purchases, mm-hmm. and it really dried up for us. I'm assuming probably the same for you, and you had to quickly scramble and figure, okay, if HUD and MLS are drying up, how am I going to continue to acquire properties? And I guess that's when you got into the direct mail space.
Right, right. As a matter of fact, the gentleman who's been with me the longest of those is the realtor. And so we had been getting, he'd been getting deals from the MLS as well as from other wholesalers in town. And one of the things I kept noticing was these wholesalers would bring us a deal and it would make sense for us. And the wholesaler was making $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 on the deal. Mm-hmm. And I kept looking at those going, you know what, if we're doing the direct mail and we're finding those, it would make so much more sense for us to acquire them directly. And that's when I decided, okay, I need a manager and someone who can run that as a business, work with an acquisitions agent, do the direct mail and find those, essentially though, the wholesaler deals ourselves.
Yeah. We came to the same conclusion. It's like if these onesie twosie wholesalers can find these deals, surely we can find them as well.
Right.
Is it competitive for you guys in Indy, the direct mail space?
It really is. And so if you go on different social media and you look into what areas should I invest in rental real estate, Indianapolis is nearly always on the list.
Yeah.
So that's great. But that also means that there are just tons of people, both local and nationally, that are trying to get real estate here. And so I know, personally, I can name a dozen people who live outside of Indiana that are trying to wholesale here in Indiana from some other state. They paid for the mailings, they got a phone line set up, and they're just doing it completely remotely. And so I'm not only competing against the local guys here in town doing exactly what I'm doing, but I'm competing against people out of state that are doing it, that are wholesaling remotely.
Yeah. You live in a very popular market for turnkey, because I do know some other turnkey operators that are there. And what is it? So what is it about Indianapolis that lends itself so much to turnkey?
Well, there's a couple things. The main one being the return. Mm-hmm. Indianapolis is one of the lower cost of livings in the country. And so the cost of a house, I mean, our sweet spot is between $45,000 and $55,000 for a property. And that's a brick ranch built in the 60s in a nice school system on the outside of town. Hmm. And it's still in the $50,000 price range, renting for about $800 a month. And those numbers just work really well, especially if you compare them to most other markets. Again, anything on the coasts or, down south where it's nice and warm, everyone compares it to, like I said, anyone who has an ocean or a mountain, their prices are going to be a lot higher than ours. We have neither.
That's right. You got a lot of flat.
Yeah, we have a lot of, and the other was warm weather. So we're 0-3 when it comes to perfect weather, oceans and mountains, but we make up for it. But that's why we have low property values, which makes the numbers work from an investment standpoint. So that's one piece of the puzzle. But the other one is, Indianapolis is consistently rated one of the better job markets. And the reason for that is it is one of the most diverse economies. Whereas you have some cities, and I'll just pick on Detroit. It's known for the automobile industry. When the auto industry struggles, Detroit struggles. And so we're not tied to any one industry. We've got Eli Lilly, a pharmaceutical company. That's one of our largest employers. We've got Anthem Healthcare, health and insurance company. That's another employer. We have some IT companies. We've got the nation's second largest med school. And so there's a lot of doctors, nurses, techs, med students, things like that. And so just throughout the city, there's a variety of different industries. And unless the entire economy goes down, it's a pretty well insulated or good diversified job base.
Interesting. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you got a lot of, you sort of tick off a lot of the boxes, in terms of great cost of living, strong economy, and low housing prices.
Right.
Now, you've been doing this since 2002. Is there a deal that stands out to you as your best deal ever?
It's funny. I always tell people the best deal ever was the very first one I got. It was an investment property I bought in 1996. And so, think about that. This is the 20th year of me owning that property. And I have had two tenants in 20 years.
Oh my gosh.
And so when you look at it from that standpoint, two tenants in 20 years is phenomenal. But also, someone just offered me literally in the last week about 50% more than I paid for it. I mean, if you think about it, that may not sound like a lot, but given what, you know, the ups and downs of the real estate market, I mean, it went, value went up, the value went down, it's recovered, but it's currently worth about 50% more than I paid for it originally. And it's been just a cash cow for, you know, for the better part of 20 years.
Okay, so tell me, how much did you pay for it in 1996? Just curious.
$141,000. Yeah.
And what does that rent for?
You know, I cut the guy a pretty good deal. He's been paying $1,400 a month for the last 9 years.
That must be a pretty nice house then in Indy, right? At $1,400
a month. For... Yeah. It's up on the north side. It's a very established neighborhood. You know, it's literally called Sherwood Forest, where heavily wooded, lots of older, bigger homes. Yeah, so it's a nice house, and it's a good return. It's not something that I could do a lot of with investors, because again, the house is now worth $200,000, but it's still going to rent for about $1,400.
Yeah.
And so that price range no longer works. I couldn't go out there and do a bunch of those every month just because the numbers don't make sense. Yeah. But long term, you look at what I paid for it and what I've gotten out of it over 20 years. And I think that's the biggest beauty of real estate. And that's why I talk to a lot of people. I approach real estate as a financial planner. Like, well, what's your 5, 10, 20 year goal? What are you trying to do with this real estate? And if you're looking out 10 years or more, I mean, real estate's phenomenal. You use some leverage, you let the tenant pay your mortgage off, and that's the power of real estate. And that's, you know, again, kind of where this property comes into play when you 20 years later look back and, you know, go, wow, what a lot of luck I had getting that one.
Yeah, really. So what sort of financing did you put on it back then? It was like a 30-year loan?
Yeah, just a 30-year loan. So of course, we refinanced, 10 years ago, whenever rates were really, the first time they got really low.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Yeah. So this thing's giving me cash flow and like a beast for you. What's your nut on that? I mean, $700-$800, something like that?
Last I saw was about $550 maybe. The taxes in that community just went up a little bit, so eating into my profit, but still $550 a month isn't too bad.
So $550 is your PITI on that?
No, I'm sorry. That's the net.
Oh, that's your net.
That's net profit after rent minus all the minus expenses and mortgage.
So $500 a month for the last 20 years, and you're paying that thing, and the thing's appreciated up to $200,000.
Yeah.
That is the quintessential buy and hold rental. I mean, doesn't get any just more perfect cherry than that.
That's right.
I love it, man. Because a lot of people do these, the best deal ever. I mean, I bought this house for $100,000 and sold it for $5 million. And it's just like it's the home runs. But I like that this is just like, it is sort of a run of the mill. Like you buy it, you get a great tenant, you sit on it and you make money on it.
Yeah. If I had done that, if I'd had the money and the common sense back then to go do that 20 times then, yeah, I'd be set by now.
Yeah. You know? Well, and I'm sure you're probably not advertising that it's normal to have two tenants over the course of 20 years.
No.
Or can you guarantee that for me if I buy a turnkey property from you?
It does mess with the vacancy rate calculation. So
it definitely pulls up your average, right?
Yeah.
What is the norm for you guys in terms of how long a property is leased for on average?
Well, and it varies. One of the things that we do is we have a breakdown of properties. We rate them A, B, C, D, and F. F is just like, it's like school. F is in a place, it's a war zone, we're not going to touch it. It doesn't matter how good the deal is. The D properties, a lot of those are Section 8. I have a lot of investors that do like those. Mm-hmm. Most of what we do are the C deals. Those are between $45,000, $55,000 and rent for about $800 a month. The B is the next step up. Those $65,000 to $90,000 properties. And then the A deals are usually $100,000 or more, renting for $1,200 or more. Mm-hmm. And the turnover rate, you can look at it just by class. Yep. The higher rated the class, the longer they tend to stay. So the A properties, again, the best deal ever, that's an A property, two tenants in 20 years. You're never going to get that in a D property.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
So the averages change, but those C properties, those middle ones, I mean, you know, we might be 3-4 years per tenant, whereas the D properties, it might be 2, maybe 3. So somewhere in that range. So
3 to 4 years though is stellar, I think. I mean, that's still really good. That's strong. Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of it is one of the things that we do that I've not seen other property managers do is we do a quarterly visit to every property. And we do that not only for the benefit of the owner, so we can show them, hey, we looked at your property, we changed the furnace filters, we took pictures of of everything. We did an inspection to make sure the foundation, the roof, all that stuff is working. We did a little preventative maintenance on a couple odds and ends. So that's great for the from an owner standpoint, but also while there, we asked the tenant, hey, is there anything that's not working? The number one complaint most tenants have about property managers is that they don't take care of the property. When you're there every 90 days asking them if everything works okay, they can't say that. And so that little program has enabled us to lengthen the average length of stay because the tenants are happy. They know that the property is being taken care of and every 90 days we're going to be there again.
Man, that's huge because there are a lot of property managers that never get their eyes on the property at all, you know, until the person's moved out and they're just discovering it. So that's stellar. Good for you guys for doing that. Well, I think you've probably sold some people on Indy and your services. How can we steer people to your website and to learn more about you guys?
Sure. The website is www.tripro, that's T-R-I-P-R-O, investmentproperties.com. So that's got information on us, a little bit about us. Now you'll see information on our standards and the warranty we provide, things like that, as well as, of course, a list of the properties currently available.
Okay, awesome. Again, folks, we'll put this in the show notes. It's triproinvestmentproperties.com. I'll make sure everybody's got that. And Steve, this was really good, man. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing about Indy.
Okay, my pleasure. I enjoyed it.
All right, take care.
Thanks so much, Ken.
All right. All right. Hey, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a very special offer. I'm giving you an opportunity to work with my company, Georgia Residential Partners, and buy turnkey cash flowing properties in Atlanta for less than you've ever bought them at before. Where before we would sell properties that have already been fixed up with a markup in place, we're going to be selling properties at wholesale prices, the original wholesale prices. So instead of selling you a $70,000 house, we're going to sell you a $45,000 house. We're going to provide the hard money, the contractors, the tenant placement, the permanent financing, the insurance, everything you need to get into this house. And again, many of these properties are going to be sold $10,000 to $15,000 less than what you would have paid for them otherwise. That means you get to recognize equity right out of the gates and bring less money to the table on your permanent refi. If this is of interest to you, reach out to me at ken@gainvesting.com. Look forward to hearing from you.